We return to Monday's UN Security Council meeting on the situation in Syria.
I now give the floor to the representative of the Netherlands.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Let me also thank Special Envoy Stefano Mistura and Deputy High Representative for Disarmament Affairs Thomas Markram for their briefings. Mr. President, only 5 days ago, here in this Council, we mourned when we commemorated the sarin attack in Khan Shaykhun a year ago. And then this weekend, again, a devastating gas attack was carried out on the city of Douma, killing more than 45 civilians, with more than 500 people suffering the consequences of this attack. This is yet another in a series of chemical weapons attacks in Syria. This is unacceptable. The Kingdom of the Netherlands is one of 9 Security Council members requesting this emergency meeting because we all felt the urgent need to address this horrific attack. Mr. President, we need to reinstate the prohibition of the use of chemical weapons. We need to reconfirm the basic norms of the international legal order. We need to stop the tragedy of Eastern Ghouta and the city of Douma. Mr. President, we were almost meeting twice today because one permanent member of this Council seemed not to want to focus discussion on the issue at hand, the chemical weapons attack in Douma. This begs the question whether it prefers an international community that stands by and watches as a spectator as this member state covers for the crimes of its ally, the Syrian regime. These include crimes that amount to serious war crimes. But this Council should not stand idly by. It is the highest time for this Council to act in 3 ways: to condemn, to protect, and to hold to account. My first point, Mr. President, this Council today should condemn in the strongest possible words any use of chemical weapons. International law has been trampled upon. Silence and impunity are not an option. But a condemnation alone, however, is not enough. Mr. President, this brings me to my second point. We must deliver on our responsibility to protect. Protection of civilians must remain an absolute priority. We call on the Astana guarantors to use their influence to prevent any further attack. They should ensure the cessation of hostilities and de-escalation of violence, as per Security Council Resolution 2401. An immediate ceasefire in Douma is needed so that humanitarian and medical aid can reach the victims of this attack, and humanitarian personnel should be enabled to continue their life-saving work. We owe this to the men, women, and children of Douma, of Syria. We owe this to our own citizens. The Kingdom of the Netherlands furthermore recalls that the majority of UN member states count on the permanent members of this Council not to use their veto in case of mass atrocities. The international community should be able to count upon this Council to uphold international humanitarian law and to uphold the international prohibition of the use of chemical weapons, and to act when international law is trampled upon. And let me be clear, we support the humanitarian work of the White Helmets. They do extremely important humanitarian work for the civilians in Syria in dire circumstances. This, Mr. President, brings me to my third point, accountability. All members in this Council regularly stress the need for accountability for perpetrators who use chemical weapons. Yet, this Council has not been able to move forward on this issue for months due to the use of the veto by one permanent Council member. This Council has been unable to tackle this crisis because one permanent member is a direct party to the conflict and has proven that it will defend the Syrian regime at all cost. We must intensify our efforts to achieve a mechanism that can continue the meticulous work of the JIM and investigate and identify perpetrators independently from the politics in this Council. The JIM has identified both the Syrian regime and a non-state actor as responsible for the use of chemical weapons. As I said last week, the discontinuation of the JIM mandate cannot be the end of the story. More so because since the JIM ceased to operate, we received reports that the regime has carried out at least 6 more chemical weapons attacks and maybe even more. For those that claim that the chemical weapon attacks did not take place or that they are a fabrication, I have a clear message. don't veto the establishment of an effective, impartial and independent attribution and accountability mechanism. Let us not forget, the UN is bigger than this Council alone. We have strong leadership at the top of the United Nations organization, and we have a powerful General Assembly. Both have to consider all instruments to advance accountability for the use of chemical weapons. The work should build upon the important work of the OPCW fact-finding mission and the GIM. And we welcome the immediate investigation by the OPCW fact-finding mission of the terrible incident in Douma this weekend. The fact-finding mission should be given full access and cooperation by all parties. And we reiterate our strong support for, first, the international, impartial and independent mechanism. Secondly, the Commission of Inquiry. Thirdly, the international partnership against impunity, initiated by France. And fourthly, a referral of the situation in Syria to the International Criminal Court in The Hague as the most appropriate path to accountability and justice. In conclusion, Mr. President, this Council has to act. The investigation by the fact-finding mission of OPCW must be completed as soon as possible. And there can be no impunity for the use of chemical weapons. To do otherwise is to effectively condone these appalling attacks. To do otherwise is to fail on our responsibilities. And to do otherwise is to undermine the international architecture that we collectively designed to stop such attacks. It is time for this Council and the international community as a whole to act. Thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of the Netherlands for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of the United States.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. De Mistura. And thank you, Mr. Markram, for your briefings. Almost exactly 1 year ago, I stood on the floor of the Security Council and held up pictures of dead Syrian children. After that day, I prayed that I would never have to do that again. I could. There are many truly gruesome pictures. Many of us have worked hard to ensure that one day we would not have to see images of babies gassed to death in Syria. But the day we prayed would never come has come again. Chemical weapons have once again been used on Syrian men, women, and children. And once again, the Security Council is meeting in response. This time, I'm not going to hold up pictures of victims. I could. There are many, and they are gruesome. Worse are the videos imprinted in our minds that no one should ever have to see. I could hold up pictures of babies lying dead next to their mothers, brothers and sisters, toddlers and infants still in diapers, all lying together, dead. Their skin is the ashen blue that is now tragically familiar from chemical weapon scenes. Their eyes are open and lifeless. White foam bubbles from their mouths and noses. Pictures of dead Syrians who are not soldiers, people who are not armed, people who are the very definition of innocent and non-threatening. Women and children hiding in basements from a renewed assault by Bashar al-Assad. Families that were hiding underground to escape Assad's conventional bombs and artillery. But the basements that Syrian families thought would shelter them from conventional bombs were the worst place to be when chemical weapons fell from the sky. And Saturday evening, the basements of Douma became their tombs. It's impossible to know for certain how many have died because of access to Douma is cut off by Assad's forces. But dozens are dead that we know of, and hundreds are wounded. I could hold up pictures of survivors, children with burning eyes, choking for breath. I could hold up pictures of first responders washing the chemicals off of the victims, putting respirators on the children. First responders walking through room after room of families lying motionless with babies still in the arms of their mothers and fathers. I could show pictures of a hospital attacked by the chemical weapons. I could show pictures of hospitals struck by barrel bombs following the chemical attack. Ambulances and rescue vehicles have been repeatedly attacked, maximizing the number of dead civilians. Civil defense centers have been attacked in order to paralyze the medical response, to increase the suffering of the survivors. Who does this? Only a monster does this. Only a monster targets civilians and then ensures that there are no ambulances to transfer the wounded, no hospitals to save their lives, no doctors or medicine to ease their pain. I could hold up pictures of all of this killing and suffering for the council to see. But what would be the point? The monster who was responsible for these attacks has no conscience. Not even to be shocked by pictures of dead children. The Russian regime, whose hands are all covered in the blood of Syrian children, cannot be ashamed by pictures of its victims. We've tried that before. We must not overlook Russia and Iran's roles in enabling the Assad regime's murderous destruction. Russia and Iran have military advisors at Assad's airfields and operation centers. Russian officials are on the ground helping direct the regime's starve and surrender campaign. And Iranian allied forces do much of the dirty work. When the Syrian military pummels civilians, they rely on the military hardware given by Russia. Russia could stop this senseless slaughter if it wanted. But it stands with the Assad regime and supports without any hesitation. What's the point of trying to shame such people? After all, no civilized government would have anything to do with Assad's murderous regime. Pictures of dead children mean little to governments like Russia, who expend their own resources to prop up Assad. And this council, which saw these pictures last year, has failed to act because Russia has stood in its way every single time. For a year, we've allowed Russia to hold the lives of innocent Syrians hostage to its alliance with the Assad regime. This allowed Russia to also weaken the credibility of the United Nations. We are quick to condemn chemical weapons in the Security Council, but then Russia prevents any action, vetoing 5 resolutions on this issue alone, 11 vetoes altogether to save Assad. And our lives go on as usual. The Council created the Joint Investigative Mechanism. It found the Syrian regime responsible for the attack at Khan Sheikhoun a year ago. Because Russia supported Assad and his actions, Russia killed the mechanism. We condemned it. And our lives went on as usual. We pushed for a ceasefire. The Council unanimously agreed, but it was immediately ignored by Russia and Assad. We condemned it, and our lives went on as usual. And now, here we are, confronted with the consequences of giving Russia a pass in the name of unity, a unity that Russia has shown many times before they don't want. Here we are in a world where chemical weapons use is becoming normalized. From an Indonesian airport to an English village to the homes and hospitals of Syria. Since the Assad regime used chemical weapons at Khan Sheikhoun 1 year ago, chemical weapons have been reportedly used dozens of times. And this council does nothing. What we are dealing with today is not about a spat between the United States and Russia. This is about the inhumane use of chemical agents on innocent civilians. Each and every one of the nations in this council are on record opposing the use of chemical weapons. There can be no more rationalizations for our failure to act. We have already introduced and circulated to the council a resolution demanding unrestricted humanitarian access to the people of Douma. Assad is doing all he can to assure maximum suffering in Douma. Our priority must be to help the starving, the sick, and the injured that have been left behind. We also call on this council to immediately reestablish a truly professional and impartial mechanism for chemical weapons attacks in Syria, including the attack this weekend. We hope our colleagues on this council will join us, as they have before. This is the very minimum we can do in response to the attack we just witnessed. Russia's obstructionism will not continue to hold us hostage when we are confronted with an attack like this one. The United States is determined to see the monster who dropped chemical weapons on the Syrian people held to account. You have heard what the President of the United States has said about this. Meetings are ongoing. Important decisions are being weighed even as we speak. We are on the edge of a dangerous precipice. The great evil of chemical weapons use that once unified the world in opposition is on the verge of becoming the new normal. The international community must not let this happen. We are beyond showing pictures of dead babies. We are beyond appeals to conscience. We have reached the moment when the world must see justice done. History will record this as the moment when the Security Council either discharged its duty or demonstrated its utter and complete failure to protect the people of Syria. Either way, the United States will respond. Thank you.
I thank the representative of the United States for her statement. I now give the floor to the representative of France.
Monsieur le Président,
Mr. President,
je remercie la présidence péruvienne
I thank the Peruvian
pour
presidency for having convened this Emergency Security Council meeting, which France solicited with eight other member states of this council.
Je remercie également
I also wish to thank the special envoy, Mr. Stéphane de Mistura, and the deputy to the High Representative for Disarmament Affairs, Mr. Thomas Markram, for their important and thorough briefings. Mr. President, there are times in the lives of nations where what is essential is at stake, life or death, peace or war, civilization or barbarism, the international order or chaos. This is the case today after the horrific chemical carnage which once again pushed the limits of horror on Saturday in Douma. We are aware of the fact that two new chemical weapons attack, particularly serious ones, took place in Douma on 7 April. The human toll, provisionally but still horrendous, is nearly 50 dead, including a number of children, and 1,000 wounded. This toll is likely to be even higher. Some areas remain inaccessible for assistance. Once again, toxic substances have been dropped to asphyxiate, to kill, to terrorize civilians by reaching them in the basements where they sought refuge. Chlorine gas has the specific feature of being a heavy gas, capable of entering basements. For this reason, it is used. And, Mr. President, this is the level of the deadly cynicism that we have reached in Syria. There is no language to describe the horror of the images which surfaced on 7 April, nearly 1 year after the Khan Sheikhoun attack, which killed nearly 80 people. What we see on the thousands of photos and videos which surfaced in the course of several hours since the attacks on 7 April, these serve as a reminder of the images we far too often saw, images of children, adults suffocating due to exposure to concentrated chlorine gas. But what we also see are people suffering significant convulsions, these phenomena of excessive saliva, of eyes being burned. These symptoms are symptomatic of exposure to a potent neurotoxin mixed with chlorine to heighten the lethal effect. Overall, as I mentioned, more than 1,000 people have been exposed to this deadly chemical compound. The experience and the successive reports of the joint investigative mechanism reflect the fact that there is no doubt as to the perpetrators of this most recent attack. The Syrian Army forces and their agencies alone have the requisite knowledge to develop such sophisticated toxic substances, substances with such a high degree of deadliness, and only the Syrian armed forces and the departments have a military interest in this use. This attack took place in Douma, an area which has been subjected to relentless shelling by the Syrian army for a number of weeks. Use of such weapons, alas, enables far more rapid tactical progress than we've seen with conventional weapons. We are all aware that the Syrian regime has already been identified as being responsible for the use of chlorine and sarin gas as a chemical weapon, and this by the joint UNOPCW investigative mechanism four times at least. There are no illusions as to the sincerity of the declaration delivered by Syria as to the state of its chemical stockpiles in 2013. Unfortunately, once again, we have proof with evidence. This dovetails with the regime's strategy of terror that has been unleashed against civilians. We have already experienced this before the world. At the worst, this is bad faith, and at the worst, at the absolute worst, complicity. The Damascus regime clearly seeks, by stoking terror, to conquer other urban areas which it seeks to control. What is more effective to prompt those who resist to flee than those the Middle Ages style sieges with chemical threats being posed? Let us be clear-eyed. These children who are held hostage are not collateral victims, as is said. These are deliberate targets of these chemical attacks designed and planned for this purpose, to wage terror. And this is state terrorism, which the Damascus regime is engaged in with a litany of war crimes and crimes against humanity. Mr. President, the offensive and the shelling staged by the regime as well as by its Russian and Iranian allies over the past 48 hours reflects the degree to which they have engaged in a military race without any consideration of the human cost. This latest escalation of violence, punctuated by new instances of chemical weapons being used, bring us face to face with the destructive madness of a Machiavellian regime which seeks to destroys people completely without, and its Russian and Iranian supporters are either unable or unwilling to stop it. We are aware of the fact, and the Russian authorities have confirmed this on a number of occasions, that Russian military forces have a presence in eastern Ghouta, on the ground and in the air. On 7 April, as the second chemical attack took place in Douma, Russian aircraft were also taking part in air operations in the Damascus region. Russian and Iranian military support is present on the ground and at all levels of the Syrian war machinery. No Syrian aircraft takes off without the Russian ally being informed. These attacks took place either with a tacit or explicit consent of Russia, or despite its reluctance and despite its military presence. I am unaware of which of these two abuses is more alarming when it comes to our collective security. Mr. President, the stakes revolving around this recent attack are extremely grave. This is the latest proof that normalization of chemical weapons use, which is to be attributable not only to a regime that has now become uncontrollable, a regime that continues to gas civilians with complete impunity, but also with respect to its supporters, including a permanent member of the Security Council. It failed in its commitment to implement Resolution 2118, which it itself co-sponsored. And the responsibility, its responsibility in the endless, unending tragedy in Syria of the war in Syria is overwhelming. So towards Syria, France naturally turns towards Russia to put forward two demands. The first demand is a cessation of hostilities and the establishment of an immediate ceasefire in Syria in line with Resolution 2401, adopted 25 February last. To date, this resolution has not been upheld by the Damascus regime. We deplore and lament the fact that it was not possible to implement this resolution, which was unanimously adopted, resolution stipulating both a truce and emergency humanitarian access. The second requirement is the establishment of a new international investigative mechanism, which will be able to document all of the factors of the attack in Douma and compel the perpetrators for them to be brought to justice. The disappearance of the Joint Investigative Mechanism last November due to two successive Russian vetoes has stripped us of an essential tool of deterrence. For this reason, we support any initiative to bridge this gap. To this end, and in this spirit, France is committed to a partnership to combat chemical impunity. And in the same spirit, we endorse the draft resolution that has been proposed today by the United States. Mr. President, with this attack, the Assad regime yet again is testing the international community's determination to ensure respect for the prohibition of chemical weapons use. From our part, it needs to be met with a united, categorical, and robust response. There must be an understanding, and it must understand that chemical weapons use against civilians will no longer be tolerated. Those who flout this fundamental rule of our collective security will have to be held accountable and assume the consequences. The Assad regime needs to hear an international response. France stands ready to fully shoulder its role alongside our partners. Ultimately, we know that only an inclusive political solution will bring an end to 7 years of a conflict that has claimed the life of 500,000, a conflict that has pushed millions on the roads of exile. France will remain fully committed alongside the Special Envoy of the United States and in line with the Geneva process. However, in the light of this most recent carnage, we can no longer merely repeat words which, without being followed up by deed, are liable to be hollowed of all sense. And so I wish to reiterate here, as was stressed by President Macron on a number of occasions, that France will shoulder its full responsibility to combat a proliferation of chemical weapons. France will be clear. France will honor its commitments and honor our word. Thank you.
I thank the representative of France for the statement, and I now give the floor to the representative of the United Kingdom.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I thank the SRSG and Mr. Markham for their briefings, and I thank him and through him all the UN teams on the ground for the important but incredibly difficult work that they do. As Stefan de Mistura said, this is an important Security Council session. My government shares the outrage that other colleagues have eloquently described today. It is truly horrific to think of victims, families sheltering underground when the chlorine found them. Mr. President, it's the third time in 5 days that the Council has convened to discuss chemical weapons. This is dreadful, in the true sense of that word. This Council should dread what we risk happening, that chemical weapons become a routine part of fighting. As a member of the P5, the UK believes that we have a particular responsibility to uphold the worldwide prohibition of the use of WMD. We agree with the Netherlands ambassador that the P5 has specific responsibilities. Mr. President, I believe that four members of the P5 do believe this, but there is one who does not. The Russian ambassador referred to a resurgence of the Cold War. This is not the Cold War, Mr. President. In the Cold War, there was not this flagrant disregard for the prohibitions that are universal on the use of WMD. Mr. President, the SRSG also referred to the risks of escalation and to international peace and security more broadly. We share his fears, but it is the Syrian government and its backers, Iran and Russia, who are prolonging the fighting and risking regional and wider instability. There are real questions, Mr. President, about what is happening in the T4 airbase with its foreign fighters and its mercenaries. Mr. President, we have been challenged today by our Russian colleague to say why we believe the attack was carried out by Syria and why we believe even that chemical weapons were used. The reasons, Mr. President, are as follows. The joint investigative mechanism between 2014 and 2017 found 6 uses of chemical weapons. 2, it ascribed to Daesh for the use of mustard gas. 3, it ascribed to the regime for the use of chlorine. And 1 further use it ascribed to the Syrian regime for the use of sarin. And that is the attack that we talked about in the Council just last week at Khan Sheikhoun, and which led to the US strike, which we support, on al-Shariat. In addition, as the French ambassador has said, we have had reports of Russian and Syrian warnings before the CW attack took place, and of a pattern of helicopters, MI-8 HIP helicopters, flying overhead, and these are reports that have come from the ground, Mr. President. I've listened carefully to the Russian ambassador's arguments. As I've just set out, we as the United Kingdom believe that the Syrian regime is responsible for these latest attacks. But there is one way to settle this, Mr. President, and this is to have an independent fact-finding mission followed by an independent investigation. As we all know, the fact-finding missions are there to determine whether chemical weapons have been used, and if they have been used, what sort of chemical weapons. But it is only an investigation, Mr. President, that can determine who is responsible for their use and therefore start the path to accountability. I was very interested to hear the Russian offer that OPCW fact-finding mission could visit and would have the protection of Russian forces. Mr. President, I believe that this is an offer worth pursuing, but it would, of course, be necessary for the OPCW mission to have complete freedom of action and freedom of access. That still leaves us, Mr. President, with the question of who committed these atrocities. And that is why we support the US text for a resolution, and we believe that there is no legitimate reason not to support the call for this Council to set up an independent investigative mechanism. As I said before, Mr. President, we have nothing to hide, but it appears that Russia and Syria and their supporters Iran do have something to fear. Mr. President, the Russian ambassador singled out the UK along with the US and France for some criticism, so I would like, if I may, to turn to that. The responsibility for the cruelty in Syria belongs to Syria and its backers in Russia and Iran. Use of chemical weapons is an escalatory and a diabolical act. What Russia is trying to do, it strikes me, Mr. President, is to turn the debate in this Council away from a discussion of the use of CW into a dispute between East and West, presenting itself as the victim. It is far too important, Mr. President, to play games with the politics between East and West in respect of chemical weapons. Russia's crocodile tears for the people of Eastern Ghouta has an easy answer. It is to join us in a non-political attempt to get in humanitarian and protection workers from the UN to do their job of looking after and mitigating the risk to civilians. Russians' concern at attribution for the use of CW also has an easy answer, Mr. President. It is to join us in allowing the UN to set up an international investigative mechanism to pursue who is responsible. And I repeat here the 2 demands of my French colleague, and I hope we will be able to make progress. Mr. President, I had not intended to address the Skripal case in Salisbury, But because my Russian colleague has done so, I will address it today. He asked what were the similarities between Salisbury and Syria. I think it's important that I point out that the cases are different in the following respects. There is a thorough investigation underway in Salisbury. As we have heard, Mr. President, there is no investigation underway in Syria. The British government in Salisbury is seeking to protect its people, as is its duty. The Syrian government, on the contrary, Mr. President, again, as we have heard today, attacks and gasses its people. What the two do have in common, though, and I am sorry to say, is Russia's refusal to assume P5 responsibilities to prevent the use of WMD and its reckless support for the use of WMD by its agents and by its allies. Mr. President, it is not us who want to alienate Russia. She alienates herself by not joining in the vast majority of this council who want to find a non-polemical way through and to address the use of CW against civilians in Syria. The Russian ambassador mentioned friends of the United States. Mr. President, my government and our people are proud to be a friend of the United States. We stand with everybody on this council who wants to find a way through the CW problem, to have a proper fact-finding mission and to have a proper investigation as the first step to bringing this dreadful conflict to a close. Thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of the United Kingdom for her statement. I now give the floor to the representative of China.
Mr. President, China would like to thank Special Envoy de Mistura and Deputy High Representative Makram for their briefings. China has noticed the reports alleging that chemical weapons were once again used in Syria and caused civilian casualties. This is of great concern to China. China's position on chemical weapons has been consistent and clear. We are firmly opposed to the use of chemical weapons by any state, organization, or individual under any circumstances. Any use of chemical weapons, whenever and wherever, must not be tolerated. China supports a comprehensive, objective, and impartial investigation of the incident concerned so that it can reach a conclusion that is based on substantiated evidence and that can stand the test of history and facts so that the perpetrators and responsible parties can be brought to justice. Mr. President, the question of Syrian chemical weapons is closely linked with the political settlement of the Syrian issue. China supports the Security Council and OPCW in continuing to play an important role as the main channel for addressing the chemical weapons in Syria. We hope that the parties concerned would take a constructive approach, engage in consultations to seek a solution, find out the truth, avoid the recurrence of use of chemical weapons, maintain the unity of the Security Council, and cooperate with the efforts by the parties concerned for advancing the political process in Syria. The Syrian conflict has entered its 8th year, inflicting tremendous suffering on the Syrian people. Political settlement is the only way out for the Syrian issue. The international community must remain committed to the political settlement of the question of Syria and effectively respect the sovereignty, independence, unity, and territorial integrity of Syria. China is always opposed to the use or threat of force in international affairs and always advocates the adherence to the United Nations Charter. All parties should increase support to the UN as the main mediator and push the parties in Syria to seek a political settlement under the principle of Syrian leadership and ownership and in accordance with Security Council Resolution 2254. Counterterrorism is an important and urgent issue in the political process for the settlement of the Syrian issue. The international community needs to enhance coordination, uphold uniform standards, and combat all terrorist organizations listed by the Security Council. Mr. President, on the Skripal incident, At the recent discussion at the Security Council, China elaborated its principled position. China believes that the parties concerned should strictly implement their obligations under the Chemical Weapons Convention and, according to the relevant rules of the Convention, conduct a comprehensive, objective, and impartial investigation and address the questions concerned within the framework of the OPCW. China hopes that the parties concerned would work under the principle of mutual respect, equality, and consultation, engage in consultation and cooperation, avoid politicization on any action that might exacerbate tension, and appropriately settle their difference through dialogue. Thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of China for his statement, and I now give the floor to the representative of Sweden.
Thank you very much, Mr. President, and thank you to Mr. Staffan de Mistura and Thomas Markram for their briefings this afternoon, and to you, Mr. President, for acceding to our request for an emergency meeting. Mr. President, we are dismayed by the general escalation of violence in Syria, as described today by Staffan de Mistura, and in clear violation of various Security Council resolutions, including 2401. And I want to plea here with the Syrian authorities, here represented, and with the Astana guarantors to live up to this Council's resolutions. Mr. President, we asked for this meeting today because over the weekend we were yet again faced with horrifying allegations of chemical weapons attacks in Syria, this time in Douma, just outside Damascus. There are worrying reports of a large number of civilian casualties, including women and children. The graphic material that has been shared is beyond repugnant. We are alarmed by these extremely serious allegations, and there must now be an immediate, independent, and thorough investigation. Mr. President, let me reiterate that Sweden supports all international efforts to combat the use and proliferation of chemical weapons by state or non-state actors anywhere in the world. We unequivocally condemn in the strongest terms the use of chemical weapons, including in Syria. It's a serious violation of international law, and it does constitute a threat to international peace and security. Their use in armed conflict is always prohibited and amounts to a war crime. Those responsible must be held accountable. We cannot accept impunity. Addressing the use of chemical weapons in Syria has become a central test of the credibility of this Council. How we respond to the latest reports from Douma is therefore decisive. Despite the odds, we must put aside our differences and come together. Now is the time to show unity. In our view, the following needs to happen. Firstly, we must condemn in the strongest terms the continued use of chemical weapons in Syria. Secondly, our immediate priority must be to investigate the worrying reports from Douma. In this context, we welcome the announcement by the OPCW Director General that the fact-finding mission for Syria, to which we reiterate our full support, is in the process of gathering information from all available sources. We express our hope that the fact-finding mission can be urgently deployed to Syria. Thirdly, all states, as well as parties to the conflict, including the Syrian authorities, must fully cooperate with the fact-finding mission. What is particularly needed is safe and unhindered access to the site in Douma, as well as any information and evidence deemed relevant by the fact-finding mission to conduct its independent investigation. Fourthly, we need to urgently redouble our efforts in the Council to agree on a new, independent and impartial attributive mechanism to identify those responsible for chemical weapons use. And finally, if the allegations of chemical weapons use are indeed confirmed and those responsible are eventually identified, the perpetrators must be held to account. We're ready, Mr. President, to work actively and constructively with other members for urgent Council action. To this end, we have circulated elements as input to our discussions. We must immediately engage in consultations to break the current deadlock and shoulder our responsibility under the UN Charter. We owe this to the many victims of the crimes committed in this conflict. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Sweden for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Poland.
Thank you, Mr. President. Let me thank the Special Envoy Staffan de Mistura and Deputy to the High Representative Mr. Thomas Markram for their important briefings. Mr. President, we are horrified by the news of another deadly attack in eastern Ghouta, which happened on Saturday evening. Thousands of people perished as a result of a vicious act of violence against civilians in Douma. Available information about symptoms of the victims confirm that they are consistent with those caused by a chemical agent. Poland condemns this barbaric attack and expects that it will be possible to hold perpetrators accountable. No military and political goals can justify the extermination of innocent, vulnerable people, especially those seeking help in medical facilities. This atrocious crime seems to be a cynical response to the last week debates in this council when we commemorated the first anniversary of the attack in Han Shaikun. Mr. President, we call on the actors affecting the situation in Syria, especially the Russian Federation and Iran, to take all the necessary actions to prevent any further use of weapons of mass destruction and arrive at the full cessation of hostilities in the whole territory of Syria. We insist that all parties to the conflict comply with their obligations under international humanitarian law. Mr. President, as it has been stated many times by the members of this Council, as well as UN officials and the European Union representatives, it is highly regrettable that the renewal of the mandate of the Joint Investigative Mechanism was vetoed, thus allowing those responsible for subsequent chemical attacks to remain unpunished. The results of this impunity we face today, witnessing further attacks against civilians with the use of chemicals as weapons. Mr. President, we urge all our partners in the Council to engage in a serious good faith discussion in order to re-establish an accountability mechanism for chemical attacks in Syria. This is the minimum that we owe the victims of Ghouta, Han Shaikun, Al-Latamina, and numerous other places where chemical weapons have been used. Thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Poland for his statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Ethiopia.
Thank you, Mr. President. We thank Special Envoy de Mistura and Mr. Thomas Makram for their briefings. Reports of the alleged use of chemical weapons in Douma on Saturday and the videos and pictures that we saw on media outlets are indeed very worrying. It's also deeply disturbing that recently such reports of the use of chemical weapons have continued in the ongoing military activities in Syria. As we have repeatedly stated, we strongly condemn any use of chemical weapons by any actor under any circumstances. There is no justification whatsoever for the use of chemical weapons. Those responsible for these inhumane acts must be identified and held accountable. This is absolutely vital, not only for the sake of the victims of chemical weapons in Syria, but also for maintaining international peace and security, as well as for preserving the non-proliferation architecture. Mr. President, as the Secretary General stated in his April 8 statement and cited by the Special Envoy earlier, any use of chemical weapons, if confirmed, is abhorrent and requires a thorough investigation. This includes the need to establish accountability, something the Council has yet to achieve a consensus on. In the meantime, we believe the reported use of chemical weapons in Douma, as well as in other parts of Syria, should be investigated by the fact-finding mission, and all parties should extend full cooperation in this regard, according to relevant Security Council resolutions. While we all agree that accountability is indispensable to deter and stop the use of chemical weapons in Syria and beyond, currently, as already said, there is no independent, impartial, and professional investigative mechanism that could identify those individuals, entities, state or non-state actors that use chemical weapons in Syria. In this regard, the Council should restore its unity and engage in a positive and constructive discussion that could address the existing institutional lacuna. This said, we all know that the threats to international peace and security we face today is increasingly becoming much more complex by the day. We are seeing that the proliferation of nuclear weapons is posing real danger, and the international norm on the use of chemical weapons is also being undermined. The trust among major powers has also never been, since the end of the Cold War, as low as it currently is. This has enormous implications not only for global peace and security, but also for the transformative agenda that we have set for ourselves in the development sphere. We cannot think of making any meaningful headways towards achieving the SDGs without creating the necessary global security environment. At the moment, we really cannot say that we have such conducive environment for us to be able to make any progress. This Council has indeed the primary responsibility for the promotion and maintenance of international peace and security. Unfortunately, it has not been able to effectively address the new and emerging peace and security threats and challenges that we are facing today. It has been all the more apparent that the lack of unity and cohesion among members is undermining the credibility of the Council. Perhaps we, the elected members, have to look for ways and means of making greater impact with a view to contributing to making the Council more effective. Without dialogue among the major powers to build the necessary trust and understanding, it will be extremely difficult to address some of the most difficult and complex security challenges, including the situation in Syria. Things are, in fact, bound to get even worse unless something is done. We cannot afford to bury our heads in the sand. The dangers are very palpable. That's why every opportunity should be seized. And that's also why we consider the news about the upcoming summit levels meeting being planned are encouraging. We can only hope that these meetings will help diffuse tension and allow for serious discussions to take place in trying to find a common approach to tackling current threats and challenges. The sooner these discussions happen, the better for preserving global peace and stability, which, as we speak, is becoming a source of extremely great concern. In fact, I'm understating the magnitude of the potential danger we are facing. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Ethiopia for his statement, and I now give the floor to the representative of Côte d'Ivoire.
Merci, Monsieur le Président.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Monsieur le Président.
Mr. President.
La délégation ivoirienne remercie Monsieur de Mistura et Macron.
We wish to thank the briefers for their statements regarding recent developments of the situation in Syria following the resumption of fighting in Douma, Eastern Ghouta, and the shelling of the city of Damas following the relative calm that had been seen in recent weeks. We wish to focus our statement on three main points. First, Côte d'Ivoire remains gravely concerned at recent reports about chemical weapons attacks against innocent civilians, allegedly claiming numerous victims with symptoms being shown of exposure to a chemical agent. Côte d'Ivoire reaffirms its categorical rejection of any use of chemical weapons, both in times of peace and in times of war. We vehemently condemn such acts, and we call for light to fully be shed on this with the contribution of all stakeholders being forthcoming. In the light of allegations of recurrent chemical weapons use by the belligerents of the Syrian conflict, my delegation underscores the following. It is more important than ever before for the international community to deliver a strong message, a message to show that beyond condemnations and statements of principle which are customary, to reflect its determination to irrevocably halt this hellish cycle. Chemical weapons use constitutes a breach of the most basic norms of international law. It poses threats to our collective security. For this reason, we must engage in a steadfast struggle against impunity in the use of chemical weapons by upholding and preserving the international chemical weapons non-proliferation regime, a regime which is amongst the pillars of our collective security. My second point focuses particularly on the importance of the international communities establishing a mechanism for accountability to combat impunity for perpetrators in chemical weapons use. This in order to end the repeated use of such weapons. In this regard, my delegation stands ready to endeavor to establish such a mechanism. We invite the Council to restore its unity, its unity when it acted to set up a joint investigative mechanism. Unfortunately, the mandate of this mechanism was unable to be renewed despite our concerted efforts.
Sir,
as my third point, I wish to note with regret the fact that Resolution 2401, a resolution which remains the framework of our collective action, unfortunately, it was unable to be implemented, and the humanitarian situation in Syria has further deteriorated. In the light of the plight of civilians trapped in the crossfire, the urgent nature of a cessation of hostilities is more evident than ever before. Given the deteriorating situation, my country once again wishes to call upon all parties to the conflict to immediately put an end to hostilities, for a cessation of hostilities, and for the parties to uphold international humanitarian law, including unfettered humanitarian access to those in need, in line with Security Council Resolution 2401. To conclude, my country reiterates our conviction that the resolution to the crisis in Syria cannot be military in nature. A political process alone can put an end to this conflict. This political solution must align with Resolution 2254, adopted by the Security Council, and it needs to be shaped by the outcomes of the negotiations in Geneva. My country is convinced that the Geneva talks are the appropriate framework to bring about a lasting settlement to the conflict. Thank you.
I thank the representative of Cote d'Ivoire for his statement.
You're listening to Weekday World on CPR, communitypublicradio.org. I'm your host,